This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta A-Stars. Meera Pitasan says that people tell her that her beat is the uterus and the American dream. She doesn't deny it. But there's more. In her new memoir, Pour Your Soul, the Battle Creek native writes about the grief she experienced after two of her life's greatest losses, the death of her brother and the death of her unborn daughter.
Pour Your Soul is a short and muscular memoir about, well, it's about a lot of things. You could say the themes are survival and preservation, immigration, and one's relationship with grief and recovery, and the layover between youth and adulthood. But the central narrative of this story, a true story, is about child loss. In 2008, when I was 28 years old, I accidentally got pregnant while I was taking birth control pills. I never missed a day. Mm-hmm. And the pills were actually prescribed to me by my father. Since he's a doctor, he could just kind of quickly give me the prescription. Mm-hmm. He also was years and years and years ago in a Catholic seminary. So there was a little irony to the fact that I still got pregnant from taking birth control pills every single day, prescribed to me by a former Catholic seminarian who happened to be my dad. Yeah. And I was raised Catholic. So I was taking these pills, and I had just started to date the man I'm now married to, Andrew. Mm-hmm. And we found out about 3 months into the pregnancy that I was, or into our relationship, that I was pregnant. And we were very much in love, and we decided, you know, we're adults. Something led us to this place in life, and we love each other very much. And we've only known each other for 3 months, but let's do this. And we decided to get engaged and have a baby and raise a family. And it was really challenging because up until that point, I considered myself more of a kind of a young adult rather than a parent.
Yeah.
And so all these different things were happening. I was in graduate school for writing, which is not a lucrative career. And I had huge student loans. And I was so worried about what my parents were going to think, and on and on and on. It was very stressful, but we went for it. And then in the fifth month of the pregnancy, I also had canceled my health insurance prior to meeting Andrew because I hadn't planned on getting pregnant. And I wanted to save money with my graduate school loans. And I didn't think I would actually need health insurance. So just to save a little bit more money, and with my grad school costs, I canceled. So I had no health insurance. So going to free clinics in New York City, and the treatment was not very great. It was a really stressful situation, but we kept going for it. But then in the fifth month of the pregnancy, during the ultrasound, that is that really exciting ultrasound that tells you the sex of your baby, we found out instead that the baby was inviable and wouldn't survive outside the womb.
Yeah.
So I had to, at that point, rather than being told, you know, the sex of the baby, we were told I had to make a decision. And I had 10 days to make a decision whether I wanted to continue with the pregnancy and inevitably miscarry or induce and deliver a baby that wouldn't survive or terminate the pregnancy. And I won't give it away, but that's kind of what everything hinged on at that point.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. I'm speaking with Meera Pitasan, the author of Pour Your Soul. Along with grief, Pitasan felt other messy emotions after losing her unborn child. She was swimming in anger, and not just for herself.
I was livid. And I still am livid about the way women are treated, particularly their sexuality and their reproductive choices, still are really taboo. And when they're talked about or they're written about, they're shelved in political sections of bookstores or feminist genres. It is everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, after I lost the baby, luckily I'm a memoirist and it worked for my personality because I'm an open book and I'm also a raw nerve. And it's just natural for me to be vulnerable. I just put myself out there. I don't know any other way. Kind of how I was raised. I started talking about it after I kind of got over the shock, and women came out of the woodwork saying, you know, I had lost a baby, and I found out relatives of mine had miscarriages and never were discussed. And I was just shocked that they went through it without court. I mean, I felt like after I lost this baby, I just was thrown right back into the stream. And even just walking home a couple days after being in the hospital in New York City, I mean, it was New York City, but you know, someone would bump into me and say, get out of the way. I just lost a child. So that made me really livid. And that was my motivation for getting the book published.
Yeah.
Writing it, I just didn't know what else to do with myself and with my energy and emotions. But I'm still just shocked. And now even being pregnant, I'm still a little shocked the way it's not something that's treated as sacred or supported. And I really felt like I was on my own.
So now you're teaching memoir writing at the Maine Correctional Center to women. Tell me about that.
Yes. Oh, it is a gift. So before I started teaching at the prison, I was teaching at a completely different kind of school called the SALT Institute for Documentary Studies.
Mm-hmm.
And SALT is a small kind of luxury school where students come in for 15 weeks. They find a story or a subculture or something interesting to explore and produce a story about. And I love teaching there, but it was not as morally fulfilling as teaching at the prison is. These women, I've learned so much from them. They've had so much hardship in their life. I think something like 95% of incarcerated women are victims of domestic violence or sexual abuse. So to begin with, and I read somewhere that a lot of this begins around age 14. So they've had hardship their whole life and not a life of luxury and choice. And they end up here just because of one action. They end up in the prison, and it's so easy to label them, just like, you know, someone could label me as a woman who had an abortion and hate me because of it. These women are in there because they were just trying to survive. So getting to know them and listening and letting them hear their stories and then giving them not only just the skills that I've been so fortunate to obtain through higher education, but the skills and also the respect and love for them to feel safe to just share what happened and how they got there. And I've learned a lot about the penal system through them. I just finished an article for Elle Magazine about the shackling of incarcerated women during labor, which is still legal in many places. I didn't know that that existed until I started working at the prison. And just they've had it really bad. So I feel so fortunate to have the life that I have. And it just is a no-brainer that I'm going to spend time giving back and helping them. And it's so fulfilling. It's almost like I crave to do more for them because they're such incredibly strong women and great writers. And it's not even like we're writing. It's sort of like a therapy session at the same time, but their stories are mind-blowing. And I work with a group called Family Crisis Services, which is a domestic violence resource center in Maine. And the program I teach through is called the Incarcerated Women's Program. And I don't think I'll ever stop. It's the best job I've ever had.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Meera Pitasan, author of Pour Your Soul. She'll read from the book at the Binda Theater at Kellogg Community College in Battle Creek on Friday, January 15 at 7 p.m. Visit WMUK.org for more information and to hear our complete interview. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.